Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, September the 19th, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 121st episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, The Insider ran a piece that argues that the 2006 Amanda Bynes movie, She's the Man, is the greatest Shakespeare film remake since 10 Things I Hate About You. That's pretty high praise for this 12th night knockoff. The Verge was one of many media outlets to cover a story about a research study released by Stanford University that used monkeys to test a new communication method that had them typing with their minds. They typed some sections of Hamlet. So this is medicine combined with science combined with the old saw about monkeys typing Shakespeare, though transcribing might be a better term. The Idlewild Town Crier ran a piece on an upcoming interactive seminar, Shakespeare's Take on Aging, at the Idlewild Library in Idlewild, California, on September the 20th. American Theater ran the announcement by California Shakespeare Theater in Orinda, California, of their 2017 season, including As You Like It and Measure for Measure. The Kathmandu Post ran a think piece on the enduring influence of Shakespeare on the Indian subcontinent. The Royal Shakespeare Company announced its 2017 summer season, in which they will metaphorically go to Rome with Julius Caesar, Antony and Cleopatra, and one of my faves, Titus Andronicus. The Recorder previewed an upcoming immersive production of The Winter's Tale by Eggtooth Productions in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Audience members will be able to follow the action of the play as it moves through a 5-story building. Sounds cool. And it runs at the end of this month. The Seattle Times reviewed The Winter's Tale by Seattle Repertory Theater, running through the beginning of October in Seattle, Washington, calling it an adroit production and a felicitous journey. The Ventura County Star reviewed The Tempest by California Shakespeare Company, running through September 25th in Oxnard, California, calling it distinctly articulate. DC Metro Theater Arts reviewed Othello by Chesapeake Shakespeare Company, running through October the 9th in Baltimore, Maryland, giving it 5 of 5 stars and calling it bold, well-acted, and directed. The Islington Gazette reviewed Much Ado About Nothing by The Faction, running in London through this weekend, giving it 3 of 5 stars and calling it overhyped. And finally, Broadway World reviewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Sydney Theatre Company, running at the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia, through October 22nd, saying that the updated imagining is done with gravity, darkness, and a degree of depravity. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On September the 13th, 1409, Isabella of Valois died. She had been the second wife of Richard II, wed to him in a political marriage when she was 9 years old and he was 29. Richard had been widowed 4 years earlier. When Richard died in prison, Henry IV ordered her, then a whopping 11 years of age, to marry his son, the soon-to-be Henry V. Isabella refused, but her younger sister, Catherine, ended up as Henry's bride, as depicted in Henry V. Isabella, on the other hand, wed her cousin, Charles of Orleans, 6 years after Richard's death. She died in childbirth 3 years after that marriage, at the grand old age of 19. September the 14th is Holy Rood, or Holy Cross Day, the day Catholics celebrate the Feast of the Cross, commemorating when a piece of the cross St. Helena found in Jerusalem in 355 was recovered from the Persian Empire in 628. The holiday is mentioned in the first part of Henry IV. On September the 15th, 1916, British actress Margaret Lockwood was born. In 1943, she played the role of Hester in the film The Man in Grey with Stuart Granger. Within the film, Granger plays Othello and Lockwood Desdemona. And that's the best I could find. There are 2 first part of Henry IV days of note for September the 16th. In 1387, a boy, Henry, was born at Monmouth Castle. The boy's father had been born Henry Bolingbroke, but within a dozen years would be Henry IV, and that kid would grow up to become, you guessed it, Henry V. Also on that day, in 1400, Owen Glendower was named Prince of Wales by his Welsh followers. This act of rebellion, and both these characters, are depicted in Henry IV, Part 1. On September 17, 1923, American singer Hank Williams was born. Shakespearean? Not really, but this year he was played by Tom Hiddleston in the movie I Saw the Light, and Hiddleston famously played Henry V in the BBC series The Hollow Crown in 2012. On September 18, 2004, American film director Russ Meyer passed away. Known for his exploitation and very softcore skin flicks, he was the subject of a great satiric piece in Tea Room Books blog, supposing what his non-existing Shakespeare films would have been called, like As You Like Tits, King Lear, that's with two E's, 42 Double D, Measure for Measure, Titties Andronicus, and Faster Macbeth, Kill Kill. On September 19th, 1356, one of the major battles in the 100 Years' War between Britain and France was fought. In the Battle of Poitiers, Edward, Black Prince of Wales, and his forces defeated those of King John II of France. It is seen as one of the three great English victories in that war, following Crecy 10 years earlier, and followed by Agincourt nearly 60 years later. And then that was your week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending September 19th, 2016. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.